You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic. I'm Cameron Lalana.
And I'm Matt Garasimovich.
And today we're covering part two, chapter 54 of Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate, covering the part where Victor is finally fed up and he is not going to take this anymore. Or maybe he will, when he goes to complain to Shishakov, the head of his department, about how he's not getting his proper due, he is not getting his staff, and he is being unfairly maligned by his other, by his colleagues. And Shishakov stares down at him and says, well, look, your work, heralded as it is also quite disputed, and frankly, it does not conform with the Marxist-Leninist way of understanding science. And secondarily, I hadn't even noticed that all the people we are denying are Jewish. Happens to be the case that we need other staff members for other scientists as well. You were the first one to bring up race here. If you want to leave, then leave. That's your decision. You aren't the only person who can do the work you do. And Victor, as confident in his decisions as ever, goes home and tells Ludmilla, I think I made a mistake. I stood
getting,
up to him.
Dude's getting negged by his institute director. It's awesome. Great.
Then he comes home to Ludmilla, who's also not super empathetic about it. The bigger concern in her mind is, well, have you noticed that our daughter's coming home at like 11 p.m. every night? And I saw her kissing a soldier the other day, which is the one thing that seems to break Victor out of his reverie to go be angry at this soldier of an indeterminate age about robbing the cradle. So we're not getting his actual age. So how much he's robbing the cradle, unclear. Very possible he is. Is there anywhere that you'd like to begin?
Yeah, you'd probably think that the confrontation scene would be the most important in here. And I thought it was fairly straightforward. I thought what was most interesting was that just brief moment between him and Ludmilla that has not happened at all throughout the book, where you remember, oh yeah, they do share something together. They do on some level like each other still, because we've been seeing plenty of his thoughts on the state, which are not particularly complex for the most part. They just kind of boil over here, but it's all kind of the same. I think that's why it's not told in direct quote, most of it, but rather from just kind of sort of like paraphrased, right? But this just look, I love this, because this is so great. Just this empathetic moment, the idea that anybody could love their daughter, who is such a pain, makes them both laugh. So it's so funny.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's this very tender moment. It's unusually tender moment, right? For Grossman, we don't get a lot of those, and which does very momentarily bring, as you said, remind you that Ludmilla and Victor do share a decades old marriage, and as is reminded much more earlier in the book, know each other, intimately, implicitly. They don't need to understand each other. They understand each other more deeply than they perhaps understand themselves. As Grissom points out, doesn't necessarily mean that you'll always get along with get along with them. In fact, that very thing can, as he supposes, create dividing issues, right? And especially that moment between Nadia and Ludmilla, when, or even all of them really, when Ludmilla and Victor are trying to say, Nadia, what are you doing? You're like sneaking around. And even as they're doing that, they're both like in their own heads, remembering like, oh yeah, we did do that too, didn't we? With Ludmilla telling her mother.
I never lied to my mother.
Right.
Except when I was busy lying to my mother.
Yeah. And, in both of them, we kind of understand that both of them understand the futility of this, right? Victor is staring at her, and she's staring at him with the same gaze that he thinks that Shishakov has, because he knows that in both cases, in fatherhood and in the case of the state, both of them are bigger than him, right? His daughter is not his to control and tell her to do what he wants. She's going to be her own person, just like he's his own person, just like Ludmilla is her own person. It brings this interesting like parallel between these two features, even though one is quite tender and natural and the other is posed as this quite oppressive force.
Yeah, the teenage daughter.
Yeah, the teenage daughter and in the state basically the same.
Who would win in a fight? One entire Soviet state apparatus or two high school girls whispering to each other while looking at the Soviet state?
Well, I think the orchard pretty definitively settled that question.
Yeah. No, I do think it was kind of comical, but sort of not quite, because you get this really nice tender moment between Victor and Ludmila, and then Victor is immediately reminded that he is useless to everyone around him. His daughter has no use for him, basically. She understands that he's just, just kind of getting mad over nothing because he sort of feels like he should do it. It feels like the right thing for a father to be yelling about. And of course we know how it went with Shishakov, which is to say not great. And so I think that that is a another great parallel between the state and personal side.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it all kind of flows from the same place as Grossman or the narrator writes. She being Nadia, seemed to understand that he was trying to achieve the impossible, to halt the flow of life itself. And, life itself seems to be almost like the power of the state is very similar. Time in this state are Grossman's death and taxes, I guess.
It seems like it.
It does, but today we had some interesting discussion with a reader who tied it to their own experiences. Victor's discussion with Shishukov, who had a similarly frustrating experience. If you want to hop on our Discord, I think that's worthwhile checking out the brief discussion Matt and this Discord user had.
We have fun.
We have fun here.
We have fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like this chapter. It's unusually, it's it, it reminds you of the ability of Grossman to write such a full life of characters, which we don't usually get because they're so subjected to such individualizing forces that they are by necessity, by survival, separated from each other. And this moment of the intersection is nice and also quite nuanced. It's quite an enjoyable depiction.
Yeah, I just love those moments where everything is just so. I mean, the book is so serious, but there's just these random moments that are just like they just break everybody out of what they're doing. It's very true to life. We all have those kind of moments, so I love seeing those in this book for the
Yeah.
few moments that exist.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you got you. The no matter how bad life is, if you get a teenager, that teenager is still going to be the teenager. So, and maybe the teenager will be right in doing that. And in fact, very possibly they will be right. And I won't say always. I remember some of the decisions I made, but it's very possible.
Always right.
Well, in that case, I think maybe this is a good place to wrap up.
Sounds good to me. In that case, you will hear from us again soon.